Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, the Raptors and their fans welcomed back Kawhi Leonard with open arms last night. Scotty, did this set the bar for welcoming former players back?
Yep, you go there one season and win a title.
Yeah. Every time that happens, something like this will happen.
We got a pen, I want to write that down. So you got to win a title in your one season there.
Yes.
Got it.
Well, Kyrie won a championship in Cleveland. That return wasn't quite as much.
No? No? Welcome to the jump. I'm Amino Hassan. I'm in for Rachel Nichols, who is on assignment today. I'm joined by our insider, Brian Windhorst, and six-time champion, Scottie Pippen. Thank you, guys, for being here. Coming up, is it time for Magic fans to let their beef with Dwight Howard go? But first, well, guys, even though Rachel isn't physically here to do the monologue today, she still is the inspiration. You see, yesterday, Rachel had a tweet that grabbed my attention. No, not that ridiculous one, Rachel. Hey, it's 2019, not even in 2020. Nothing comes close to Yiddy. That's what I named Baby Yoda, by the way. Now, I meant this one. See, oftentimes, we hear the jump get accused of overlooking the so-called flyover states, a claim that is, of course, utterly ridiculous and rather swiftly debunked by Rachel in that tweet. But one of my New Year's resolutions is going to be, how can I be more empathetic?
Yeah, right.
So I figured, maybe the problem here isn't a lack of discussion about the teams in America's heartland, but rather we here at the jump don't do a good job alerting the people in America's heartland that we're in fact talking about their teams. So gather your kinfolk, huddle around your Meemaw's vintage 55-inch 4K LCD and tell Cousin Jeffrey to fire up the ESPN app on his iPhone 11, because we're about to talk about the Indiana Pacers.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
What?
It's for real. Truly. I'm serious. After last night's signature win versus the Boston Celtics, in which they overcame a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter and a season-high 44 points from Kemba Walker, the Pacers have now won 9 of their last 12 games and boast a top-10 defense and an above-average offense as they hold the fort in the absence of their all-star, all-NBA, all-everything leader Victor Oladipo. They've been able to do this through contributions from many of President Kevin Pritchard's shrewd investments. The big offseason acquisition, Malcolm Brogdon, was his usual hyper-efficient self last night, scoring 29 points on only 10 field goal attempts and assisting on more than 40% of Indiana's made field goals while he was on the floor. The other guy from the Paul George trade, Domas Sabonis, posted his 20th double-double, just two behind the league leader Giannis, and is making that $75 million rookie extension look like an absolute steal. Seriously, the guy's going to make less than $20 million per year over the next 4 years. The Holiday brothers, who both played the entire fourth quarter, where the Pacers outscored Boston by 15 points, combined last night for 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 steals. Both brothers are shooting better than 39% from 3 on the season, and best of all, combined, they earn less than a non-taxpayer mid-level exception, proving once again, more holidays are always a good thing, right? Hey, you know, the Jeremy Lamb signing, the TJ Warren heist. Look, I could keep going, but you get the point. They're doing all this without the services of Thingamajig himself. That's right. Victor Oladipo was on the Masked Singer. He was a semifinalist. He should have won, if you ask me. Or Billy Gill over in the Levitard Show. But here's the real point, though. Indiana has built this team without leaning on the crutch of how hard life is for small market teams. Yes, life is harder when you're not on the coast. And yes, your margin for error is much smaller. But through prudent cap management, savvy scouting, and opportunistic trades, you can field a competitive team in a small market. But with no return in sight for Oladipo, according to Coach Nate McMillan, and a schedule that gets decidedly tougher the next month, can the Pacers keep the ship afloat until their masked crusader returns? Now, Scotty, what's the ceiling for the Pacers when Oladipo returns eventually?
Wow. Well, I mean, it's Thursday. As long as they're playing now, I mean, they could easily move up to second or third place in the East. This team is playing exceptionally well, and they've done this. They've created this culture over the last couple of years. Nate McMillan have put his imprint on this team, play hard on the defensive end, play together, and that's what this team really implements night in and night out. I mean, they're an exciting team to watch without having their superstar player on the floor.
You know, anybody, I shouldn't say anybody, but the teams who can trade for an established all-star like Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. who can sign an established all-star, like if you sign a guy like LeBron James or a guy like Kyrie Irving, that's an accomplishment. The real thing that is really hard to do is to do that for players who haven't been all-stars, who become all-stars. So they did it with Oladipo, and they're right there. Brogdon and Sabonis both have a chance to be Eastern Conference all-stars this year, one or the other, maybe even both. That's how you have to do it in Indiana, especially in a place where they're never going to be in the outside the top, you know, the bottom 10 in spending. They're just never going to be able to do spending. And this was a bit of a, actually, they had a tough start to the season. There was some issues with who was going to play. Mm-hmm. Sabonis was upset initially about his contract extension. Even now, there's a little bit of, you know, Miles Turner isn't playing his best. So they've benefited from a relatively easy schedule going on.
Right.
But they've also overcome some things. And so I really respect the way they put this team together and the way they've stuck with it and playing their best basketball.
Looking at that schedule, you're right. It has been exceptionally soft. I think Boston is really the really tough team that they actually beat. Moving forward, how much striking distance do they have to be to the pack, do you think, by the time Oladipo gets back?
The issue is I have no idea what Victor Oladipo is going to be. He's going to have been out a year. I mean, if he comes back and you put him alongside Sabonis and Brogdon, you would think that they would be really, really competitive up to maybe one of those top four. I just don't know. What I do know is this. Brogdon, because he has to handle the ball so much more, his efficiency. Now, he was a 50-40-90 guy, one of the few we've ever had in the league last year. He's come down on that, and his turnovers have gone up because they're putting the ball in his hand so much. If I look at the raw numbers, I could actually make a case that Brogdon will get better when Oladipo comes back because his usage will go down a little bit. But I just don't know. But it's certainly exciting. We're talking about how the trade deadline might be a little quiet this year. The Pacers may have the biggest trade deadline of anybody because they're going to potentially bring an all-star back.
Yeah, I have to agree with a lot of what he's saying. I think bringing Oladipo back will take a little bit of that pressure off of Brogdon. I think him coming in there right now, he's trying to really make an initial point to show that, you know, he belonged there and he can do a lot. But I think bringing Oladipo back is going to make this team even more efficient.
All right. You happy, Middle America? Now we're going to talk about the coastal cities. The Lakers won their 12th straight road game last night in Orlando. In fact, they're undefeated on the road since the loss of the Clippers on opening night, which is technically a home game, meaning they're undefeated away from Staples Center this season. Brian, what's the reason behind the success on the road?
It sure helps to have Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
there you get a pen here.
You know,
Davis and LeBron, got you.
They, because they're pretty darn good at home, too. But they play defense. One of the old adages in the NBA, Scotty, defense travels. So when you play good, strong defense and you can take it on the road, you have a great opportunity to be successful away from home. And, you know, they really play with great intensity in some of their big road games. Like, if you watch the intensity they played with in Denver and in Salt Lake City last week, they wanted those games.
Right, because those were the tough games. Yeah. They've been killed for their schedule a little bit as well.
Yep. I think Brian hit the nail on the head. It's really been their defense. They've been able to hang their hat on that, but mostly it's been about the schedule. You know, you look at the schedule, they've only played three teams that's over 500, Dallas, the Jazz, as well as the Nuggets. The Nuggets and the Jazz are not playing the type of basketball that we've seen them play a year ago, but give them credit. When you got AD and LeBron James, you got two of the best players in the game. They're going to be difficult to guard. I don't care if you put two teams together.
Scotty, how do you guard that? If you're out there, you're on the floor, and you're guarding LeBron, and Anthony Davis coming up to set that screen, how do you defend that?
It's a tough defend. I mean, really what you have to do is switch. You know, you're talking about two guys that's almost equal in size. Obviously, AD athleticism is far beyond where LeBron's is now, but it's very difficult to stop them in terms if you're planning on switching or making a play. But you got to throw different options at LeBron. You got to double team him sometime and not allow him to make that pass. I know with his size that he's able to see the floor very well, but you got to force someone else to make the pass, AD, and not LeBron James.
The representative from the Western Conference this year may come down to who can handle the LeBron AD pick and roll? Who can handle the Paul George Kawhi Leonard pick and roll? Can they solve it? Either side, whoever does it better might be the one who's in the finals.
I got a headache just thinking about it. Here's the crowd reaction to Dwight Howard checking into the game last night. Take a listen.
Still, here's the booze here in Orlando. His last year here was 11-12.
Now, before the game, Dwight told reporters, quote, I think it takes everybody a while to get over things, but time should heal all wounds, and if not, got to let that bleep go. Scotty, do you think it's time for Magic fans to get past their beef with Dwight Howard?
No, they still pissed. They won a championship, and he didn't bring them one.
Oh, so that's the way I got that note, the Kawhi Leonard note.
Yeah, he's trying to piggyback on the Lakers to get a championship. Orlando fans ain't buying that.
But it's over, right? Like,
it's not over because you don't want – it's the same reason that the Pacers fans were all over Paul George mm-hmm. last week, because they see their ex doing well, in L.A. They don't want that. Like it or not, they don't want that. It was a little easier to see him in Oklahoma City than it was to see him in L.A. It's just, just the truth of it.
Well, and but what about Dwight? Because Dwight's been – all around, and he's been battered, and I think his career is
he's doing well now. They liked it when he was getting dumped by.
We still got Boone, though.
They liked it when he was getting dumped by all these teams. Like, we're better off without him. Now they're not so sure they're better off without him. That's
amazing,
reality,
man. I just feel
By the way, Dwight, in his post-game comments, Dave McMenamin had this story. Same thing as Paul George. He goes, well, when the story comes out.
No, you can't.
Know, like,
you
know, like, if you knew what everything that was done to me, I was like, all right, well, if the story needs to come out, then put it out. If it doesn't come out, I don't care about
Nobody who was there works there anymore. More do you want?
I'm just telling you what he said.
Nah, man. Like, Paul George, he can still run with that line. Dwight, you can't. Coming up, Kawhi Leonard has some special engraving in his championship ring. We'll let you hear his explanation next. But first, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2003, featuring Desmond Mason, one of the most underrated dunkers
of
all time.
They call him the mayor?
Desmond Mason? Because it's Oklahoma. Yeah, there's something like that. Oh, yeah. It goes him, in no particular order, him, Dominique Wilkins.
I saw that in the dunk contest, did I?
Him, Dominique Wilkins, Jason Richardson, best windmill dunkers of all time.
He was a great dunker.
Their windmill.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or make.
It's a make or miss league.
Caruso make an appearance. Make young legs. Ja Morant threw it down on Aaron Baines last night. Something nasty. Baines has made it a bit of a habit of getting dunked on, Scotty. You give him credit for contesting everything at the rim?
Man, no, I do not. He's going to be remembered in the wrong way.
This is about Ja Morant. This is not about Aaron Baines. How about Ja Morant with a strong finish? I will not stand for defense being mocked.
Oh, Aaron Baines does catch it a lot, though, man.
All the time.
Does he ever block any of those dunks?
Yes, he blocks them.
Okay. Maybe we'll see one day. Miss!
You won't see him because you don't put him on this show. It's like flyover.
Yes, Jared Dudley got tossed last night after coming to Dwight Howard's defense. Brian, do you like JD stepping in to defend Dwight Howard here?
This is called knowing your role. His job is to do this on this team. And let me tell you something. This is his best night of the season. We're talking about Jared Dudley. This is exactly what he can do for the Lakers. Step in and say, hey, don't push my guy. I'll push your guy.
Jared Dudley's my boy, man.
I would have to go do that for maybe LeBron or AD. Dwight Howard, you got to fight that
man. Nah, man. It is kind of funny. When you look at Dwight on Yokes, and JD kind of flabby. He's the enforcer.
Oh, yeah.
I can say that because he's my friend.
Yeah, right. I'm sure the whole thing about it exact same way.
Nate, perfection. Zach LaVine dropped 35 and 3/4 last night on the Hawks, including a perfect 7-for-7 from three, Scotty. Was that more about LaVine or the Hawks' defense?
The Hawks' defense.
Oh, man.
Get your average up on the Hawks, baby.
This is so Zach LaVine. There are certain nights where he looks like he's head of the Hall of Fame, and there are other nights when you got to bench him. This is why it's hard to have him as your franchise player, frankly.
Is he the franchise player, or is he just, like, the best player right now?
Well, who is?
No, they don't have one. I would say
they're paying him $80 million.
That's true. Good point. That is franchise money. All right. Make BB-8. I got excited and I realized it's not a Star Wars thing. Bogdanovich nailed this three with 13 seconds left that ended up winning it for the Kings. Brian, is BB-8, is that his nickname, developing into the closer in Sacramento?
Well, how about Bielitsa just hit one the other night? Let me tell you something about Bogdanovich. He is a sneaky guy in the free agent market. I don't know if they can afford to pay him, and that makes him interesting in the trade market. And Kings have won three in a row, and their next two games are against the Knicks and Warriors.
Ooh.
Could get to 500.
Woo-hoo. You hear that? Scrimmages.
Got a chance to keep shining.
There you go. Man, he's going to really enjoy that money he's going to make this offseason. Miss expectations. Devontae Graham dropped a career-high 40 on the Nets last night, including 13 in the fourth quarter. Bryant, Is he your most improved player?
He is right there. And oh, they have the ball in his hand at the end of the game, Scotty. They're like, bring us home, Devontae.
I love it. This young man, I mean, it was like a breakout party last night. It's like, show the world what you can do.
I love Devontae Graham. He's been one of the most fun people to watch this year. You can't be most improved in your second year. That's what you're supposed to do.
Kirk Goldsberry said 51% on threes at the top of the key. Better than James Harden.
That's awesome. He's not most improved. But he's great to watch. He gives you a reason to watch Charlotte.
He's a second round pick, though, man.
All right, Kawhi Leonard made his return to Toronto last night and received his championship ring with one modification. Here's how Kawhi explained the special logo on his ring.
I have my, a logo in there, and it's on my middle finger, so it reminds me to put it on my middle finger. So I have a like a FU symbol on there.
Scotty, what are your thoughts?
Those are two quite different things, the reminder and the FU.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Scotty, on this logo that he has on his ring?
I mean, he's sending a message probably to his old team back there to say.
I'm about to say, there's only one, right?
Yeah.
Who else could he be talking about?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. After what happened last summer, I'm never underestimating this guy again. He is a killer. He's a killer.
I mean, he's an absolute killer, but also that's more emotion. I know it didn't sound like emotion, but that's more emotion than I've ever heard him talk about anything. I mean, even though he didn't name the Spurs by name, like, I've never heard him talk about an organization, a team, or a critic or anything in that way. Yeah.
Can you imagine they're calling him, hey, Kawhi, what do you want engraved on your ring? Do you want, like, your number or your name? I want the FU. Oh, okay.
Right, like and you know, by the way, was Andrew Bogut the first dude to have his ring size for his middle finger?
No,
I don't remember.
A bunch of guys have had their size.
I got six. So I think I.
Oh, wow.
He's got two of them. Yeah. Oh, get off the set.
That's a jump, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for watching. Thank you.
I quit. Hey, coming up, James Harden drops another 50 piece, and it's actually seeming normal now. That topic and more in another round of Something. Nothing, everything. I got to go.
That was everything. That was everything.
Bill Walton. Bill, don't send me any tweets today. Mr. Russell.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Amino Hassan filling in for Rachel Nichols. I'm joined by Scottie Pippen and Brian Windhorst. It's now time for a round of, I love this game. Something, nothing, or everything. You see, there's more people saying this. All right.
Start off with getting hazed.
Yeah. James Harden had himself a night in a win versus the Cavs yesterday. Harden dropped 55 points, going 20 for 34 from the field. Is averaging 38.7 points per game for the season. By the way, only had 5 free throws last night. Scotty, is Harden's 55 piece something, nothing, or everything?
To me, it's nothing.
What?
Based on the fact of how the game is being played today, he controlling the ball possession most of the game. It's really just a one-on-one game right now for him. I mean, he's shooting the basketball. He's looking at guys like Westbrook. They're wide open, and he's just still launching shots. So to see him score 50-5 is nothing because he's shooting every shot almost.
This game was fascinating for a bunch of different reasons. The Cavs went on a 24-0 run and did not win.
Right.
They elected not to double-team Harden down the stretch, which other teams have been doing. And as you mentioned, the 5 free throws, only one other player in history, Rick Barry, back in the 70s, has scored 50 with only 5 free throws, I believe. So it's definitely something just because of the weirdness of the game.
Well, I mean, and I think they needed it. They needed every one of those 55 points to beat them because, like you said, the Cavs went on this huge run and nobody else had it going. I mean, I would look off Westbrook too, the way he's been shooting.
Well, you know what? You had to know that it was going to be a little bit of letdown on the Houston Rockets part, but they're not going to let the Cavs beat them. And the fact that they gave them some chances and they got some light, got some confidence. Still in me.
I happen to know that Scottie Pippen's career high was 47, and he's saying 50 is nothing. I just want you to.
Well, I didn't get as many shots, and I didn't handle the ball for.
How many of you would have averaged
35 out of 48 minutes?
How many points would you have averaged playing in the Rockets system?
In today's game, if I come down and pound it, I'll get 40.
But see, but here's
I'll get 40.
Here's something to Scottie's point, right? Tom Habister of NBC Sports did a study last week about the best scoring seasons of all time. But the difference is some players played in an era where everything was really fast, like Wilt Chamberlain and Oscar and those guys back then. Some guys did it in seasons where it was really slow. And what he found was if you adjust for pace, the number of possessions in a game, the number one scoring season of all time is actually Kobe Bryant in 2005, 2006. His was based on the number of possessions they had.
That one was where they put in a new hand check rule and he had like 15
free
throws again.
Sure, but I mean, I think a lot of it also is that the game just wasn't as fast as it is now. Like, if you look at the slowest team in the NBA right now, which I believe is either the Denver Nuggets or the Pacers, they'd be the fastest team in the NBA in 2005, 2006. So I think that's a huge difference. By the way, other guys on that list ahead of Harden or Michael Jordan, and then one of Wilt Chamberlain's seasons where it was like, it doesn't matter how many possessions we play, he was just ridiculous. So there's a point. You do have a good point in that the way the game is played now is helping them, but still, come on, 55 on 5 free throws? Come on, hey, Scotty.
These guys are conditioned for this now. This is part of basketball now, you know? Stop me. If you don't stop me, I'm going to get my numbers.
Also, you got a double team. What are you thinking, D-line? All right. The Bucks last night kept it rolling versus the New Orleans Pelicans. Bucks extended their win streak to 16 games in a row and won without Giannis, who didn't play for the first time this season. Ryan, the Bucks' 16th straight win, particularly without Giannis in the lineup. Something, nothing, or everything.
What I like about it's something because they really wanted to keep that streak going. If you watch the way they came out in the first 5-8 minutes of this game, they stepped on the Pelicans, broke their spirit right off the bat. I know it's the Pelicans, okay? I know, all respect to Griff. I know it's the Pelicans. I know it's
Kendrick Williams really isn't doing it for me.
I know it's not like beating the Lakers, but nonetheless, they kept it going. And now they get Giannis back, hopefully, and the streak can keep going.
That's great. I think it's something, too. And to be able to play without your star player, your leader, the guy who really provides and gets everybody their food when they're out on the court, to see them come out and play the way that they did last night. They started the game, and they didn't miss a beat. And they play like they knew they could win the game and not that they were going to be
hurt. That coach.
You know, a couple of weeks ago when the Lakers win streak was at 8, I said a lot of it was soft schedule, kind of like what we talked about earlier. And the Laker fans have now dubbed me the schedule god. Anytime they beat anybody, who's that tough enough for you? And anytime anybody loses to anybody, what about them? Are you going to talk about them? So schedule god is listening to your prayers, Laker fans. The Bucks have beaten a lot of bad teams in this streak. Like, how much of this do we give them credit for, again, doing what you're supposed to do?
All right. They absolutely destroyed the Clippers last week with Kawhi and Paul.
Lakers haven't done that.
And next week, they get to play the Lakers. So whether they've got the winning streaker going or not, we'll see.
Well, yeah. I mean, competitions always tell the story, but it's good to see the team like a Milwaukee really focusing and not playing down to their competition.
That Thursday night game next week is going to be a heavyweight fight. All right. The Celtics not only lost to the Pacers last night, but they lost Gordon Hayward as well. Hayward had to leave the game after unintentionally getting hit in the nose by Doug McDermott. Celtics say Gordon Hayward is probable to play tonight against the Sixers. Scotty, is Hayward's health being in and out of the lineup something, nothing, or everything?
I would say it's nothing. I mean, he's a guy that's been able to bounce back. And this Boston Celtics team, they're built for the long haul. They got enough guys over there to fill the void when they miss a guy here and there. And minutes is not a problem for them. The Jack guys minutes up too. So I see this being nothing. Hayward bounce back. They're going to be ready for the playoffs.
This is nothing, but tonight's game against the Sixers is a really important game. It's almost everything because this matchup with the Sixers, the difference between the Celtics having a chance to get out of the East and not, in my mind, they have a bad loss last night in Indiana where they blow a late lead. They got to prove tonight they can handle Embiid. On opening night in Philly, they could not handle it. So let's see.
It's interesting because obviously they lost a home opener to Philly. You go down 2-0 in the season series, I mean, that could be huge. It places a lot more kind of weight on those later games in the schedule for them as they play. They're all kind of jostling for position there in the Eastern Conference. All right. The Knicks. Sorry, I need a second. The Knicks finally snapped their 10-game losing streak. The Knicks held off Golden State in an overtime win behind Marcus Morris' season-high 36 points. Can't believe I'm asking this. Brian, Knicks snapping their 10-game losing streak. Something, nothing, or everything.
Not only is this nothing, I thought that the Warriors won this game. I saw D'Angelo Russell hit the three to send it to overtime. I went to bet on it. And when I got in today, they were like, hey, shoot, something, nothing, everything, Knicks win. I go, the Knicks won. I didn't even know. That's how nothing it was for me.
It's just nothing. I mean, you flip a coin and you kind of hope it don't come down, but you know it's coming down. You know?
This was my favorite part. The Knicks Instagram account, the official account, call it a roller coaster ride, but a must win to get back on track with a little flex emoji. Hashtag New York forever, which is a really terrible hashtag. Scotty, can a 4-20 team ever have a must win game?
I would say yes.
What?
Because players start to lose it mentally, and then they started to come up with all kind of excuses and faking injuries. So you want to get them back on the winning streak and kind of get them back on the bandwagon. I think a win like this, especially on the road, when teams are able to come together, it boosts their confidence. And plus, you know, you're celebrating the coach's first win.
So. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. But from a lottery standpoint, this could end up being a loss in the last.
Dude, that's all I could think about was the year they beat the Hawks on the last day, and it ruined all
the Warriors, who could end up.
Right.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, as players, you're not thinking about that. You just want to have some happiness in that locker room.
The
only way you can get it is with a win.
Absolutely. But I don't think it's a must-win, because if you tell me it's a must-win now, if they had lost it, what does that mean? Now the season's over? I don't know. All right. Coming up, one of my favorite people, senior sneakerhead Nick DiPaolo, will join us to discuss the latest on Luka Doncic's sneaker free agency. And then here's what the Jump recommends for today. Tim Bontemps has a piece on ESPN.com on what's wrong with Nikola Jokic and how the Nuggets need more from their all-star center. Check it out during the break. Today is the final day you can bid on shoes from Magic Johnson, Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Trae Young, so many more athletes, coaches, and celebrities. Bid now at ebay.com/VWeek. All proceeds benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Now joining us is our senior sneakerhead expert, Nick DiPaolo, who is actually... Yeah. Nick's actually very involved with the Kicks to Beat Cancer initiative. Nick, can you tell us a little bit more about this cause and your involvement?
Yeah, so this is the second year now we've done it. Last year we had Scottie Pippen and Paul Pierce, a bunch of guys, donate shoes. We raised about $50,000 for V-Week. This year we've got about 50 celebrities, musicians, artists, great names all over. So we're trying to raise as much as we can, and today's the last day to bid.
Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, Nick, let's talk about holiday kicks. What's the hottest holiday release this season?
I mean, it's definitely gotta be the black and red 11.
Look at that.
This is the 10th year in a row Jordan Brand's brought out 11s in December for the holidays. They're going to sell a little more than a million pairs of these. And I mean, for most everybody into sneakers, even if you're not into sneakers, it's one of the all-time must-haves. You kind of have to have these in your collection.
Right. So some people call them breads. Some people call them...
Playoffs, black and reds, Michael Warm in the 96 finals. There was a couple other iconic shoes in that finals probably too. But I think for everybody that's a Jordan fan... just the design, the patent leather, the carbon fiber, just one of the all-time classics.
Now, he wore those in that series where the game clincher was on Father's Day. And remember the image of him crying on the floor, holding on to the ball. Scotty, what was that like for you to see your teammate kind of in that scenario?
Wow, it was a very touching moment. I mean, I don't think we really realized what was going on, you know, with Michael until after the game. He kind of held all his emotions in throughout that day, and he was always kind of that guy that kind of had that game face and that game approach. But that day was a very special day. And you realize that after a game when, you know, he kind of went to the floor and I guess everything kind of came down on him pretty hard. Mm. Thinking about his father.
Yeah, these are the shoes of my high school right here. Like that, when I look at these shoes, these were the first shoes where I looked at it and I said, I got to find a way to have a pair. And then I didn't get it. Ever. I still don't have those. So you're saying to me...
You hear what he's saying to you? I'm just saying.
You're saying to me these are the must-have. If I'm going to be proud of my sneaker collection, I got to have this in the collection.
Of course. I mean, it's those and Jordan 3s and Jordan 1s are everybody's favorite Jordans, I would say. And they do come out on Saturday. This is my pair. But
okay.
if you do want to get yours...
I'm just saying.
There's a negotiation happening here.
We're about to move on. We're going to talk about... Oh, not... Okay, well, for a second, I want to just point out that we're going to talk in a second about Luka Doncic, who's a sneaker free agent, but I want to point out that I, too, am a sneaker free agent. So, Apparel Companies, you can write me at 1011 South Figueroa Street, Los Angeles, California, 90015.
I'll just give you his home address.
Size 11? Size 11?
Yeah, size 11. You got it. Let's move on to the real sneaker free agent that everyone is talking about.
You got your business out there.
Now that we got that out of the way. Luka Doncic. Nick, what's the latest on his status? He's been wearing different sneakers throughout the season pretty much.
So it's incredible timing for Luka. So most rookies sign a 4 or 5 year shoe deal. Luka had a 2 year deal his last year in Spain. So he was a free agent now after being a rookie of the year. So he's got Jordan Brand, Under Armour, Puma all in the mix. His Nike deal expired October 1st, and they're just kind of slow playing it right now because as the season's playing out, he could very well be top three in the MVP race and take another tier as a player. So there's negotiations ongoing right now, and I think every brand's really curious where he lands.
Well, let me ask you this question. Has anyone kept tally of which shoes he's worn more often? Does that give us a hint maybe?
I've definitely counted every single game. He's worn Kobe 4s about half of the Mavericks' 23 games so far. He did have a career-high 42-point triple-double in the Sour Patch Curry 7s. Mm-hmm. He's worn Jordan 3 times as well. So he's been mixing it up. He's worn Pumas in practice, hasn't worn them in a game. But for Luka, I think they're holding out. They want to see what kind of offers they can get. And if somebody says the magic word signature shoe, that might be what seals the deal. It's a really complicated version of basically restricted free agency.
Right.
Where if he signs with the brand, Nike has 10 days to match.
Have you ever seen a Euro guy be able to sell signature shoes in China and in the U.S. before?
So this summer is the first testing ground. So Giannis is the first international player to have a signature shoe with Nike basketball. They've had about 23 signature guys over the years. He's the first one.
Right.
But the Freak One's been really successful already.
Yeah.
So I think that is kind of giving Luka some legs there if you're going to be at an MVP level of a player. Maybe you can move a shoe now, and maybe the market's changed.
What about like the we say big men don't sell shoes, right? That's always been the adage. But now we've got a league where what's a big man, what's a guard, and all that. Is that going to change our basically perceptions of positionless basketball change?
Well, Joel Embiid got a huge deal with Under Armour last fall, and he's going to have a signature shoe. They're still working on that, so that we'll have to see with Joel. But I think the biggest thing that brands look for is a playmaker. So do you have the ball in your hands? Are you impacting the game multiple ways?
Right.
And Luka fits that bill. He's taking the shot at the end of the game, but he's setting the floor throughout the whole game. So I think that's what they're looking for.
He's got charisma. He's got the game. It's amazing. So what size are these in?
That's my size.
I mean, I got you. Christmas around the corner.
Oh, see, that's a good teammate. You guys are terrible, all of you. Scotty, that's a good teammate. All right, thanks a lot for joining us, Nick. Drop by again soon. Bring some shoes next time. Up next, Joel Embiid says he needs to be more aggressive. Does he have something to prove against the Celtics tonight? Stick around. But first, time for our second distant replay of the day, and this one is from this day in 2002, featuring rookie Tyson Chandler.
Rookie.
Oh, yeah. That was when they... Did you play on that team? Or no, you played a couple years later, right?
Yeah, a couple hundred years.
This is when they still wanted to make Tyson Chandler a wing. Remember that?
Oh.
And tomorrow, Rachel will take the jump to Miami for a road show. We'll have special guests and a great show for you. And I think I'll be there, too, because I'm getting on the plane right after this. All right, with the NBA heading to Mexico City tonight, here's a look back at the first NBA game in Mexico back in
1997.
NBA regular season game in Mexico is underway. Reeves again gets all the way to the hoop. Recovered by Drexler. Drexler underneath to Willis for the dunk. Drexler lost the ball. It's loose on the floor and Houston escapes for the victory.
They don't celebrate like that for a regular season game anymore. It's crunch time here on the jump. Tonight, Luka Doncic. And the Mavs will take on Blake Griffin and the Pistons in Mexico City to kick off this year's Mexico City game. Brian, what are your expectations for Mavs versus Pistons in Mexico City?
In that altitude, I'm not expecting tremendously efficient basketball. But I also feel for the Pistons fans, this is the one home game for the Pistons this year. They don't get to see Luka there.
Scotty, whenever you guys had to play not in the U.S., did that ever change anything as far as your preparation to the game or how the day felt?
Not really. It's just a better atmosphere. I think when you go there, the fans are just cheering for the game and not really cheering for a team, maybe cheering for a few individuals, but it's just a different crowd.
Scotty seemed to be fine in Barcelona.
Yeah,
No, I mean, that one don't count, man. Y'all beating up on people. Here's a throwback crunch time. On this date in 2002, LeBron made his national TV debut as a high schooler, scoring 31 points, 13 rebounds, and 6 assists. Brian, what do you remember about this game?
He might have made $50 million that night because we all knew who he was. We hadn't, I mean, I had, but the America hadn't seen him play.
Right.
Not only did he play great, but he gave highlights that could be shown on SportsCenter and everywhere for months. This is when the shoe companies went crazy about him. I have no idea what kind of shoe deal he would have got before, but after, he was a $100 million man.
Was this before or after the Lenny Cook game?
After, but nobody... You had to be really inside to know what was going on.
Scotty, do you remember the first time you heard about LeBron or saw LeBron play?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I heard about him from my Nike guy, Lynn Mary.
Oh, yeah.
He was chasing around for quite a while. I think 8th grade.
Oh, wow.
You know, looking back, I was like, man, that kid gonna have some expectations on his shoulders, but.
Met every single one though.
Up to it and beyond it.
Honestly. Probably tried to get Sky to help recruit LeBron because
it probably
LeBron
worked.
Was obsessed with the Bulls.
Probably worked too. All right. There's a big time Eastern Conference matchup tonight between the Sixers and the Celtics in Boston. Joel Embiid was criticized by Charles Barkley and Shaq on TNT earlier this week for not being assertive enough against the Nuggets. Today, Embiid was asked about that criticism. Take a listen to his response.
I do think they're right. I think I need to, you know, be more aggressive. Just look to impose myself. Just look to dominate. I think the whole season I haven't done that. And then you can see the way it's affected my efficiency and my stats. So, you know, I guess I need to go back to having fun and just dominate, and but I get what they're saying, and I think they're right, and I gotta make a change.
Scotty, does Embiid have something to prove tonight?
Yes, he did, though. I think, you know, what Charles and Shaq said has put a spotlight on him and on his game, and people want to really, I guess, put more emphasis on the way that he's playing. But I think he knows that as a player, that he has to be more aggressive. Shaq sees a lot of what he did as a player, that he could be more dominant, as well as Charles. So he could be more assertive, because if this Philly team wants to win and they're going to come out of the East, he has to show that he's a dominant player and a dominant force on their team.
Brian, let me ask you a question, because before the season, he made the proclamation, I'm going to be mature, I'm going to leave all the silly stuff aside and just focus, because technically that stuff is a distraction. But him acting mature seems to have been a bigger distraction than him just being himself.
He's sort of been all over the place. He said before the season he wanted to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year.
I believe.
But on the other hand, he's also concerned about his health, so they've reduced his minutes, and therefore his production's been down. Then you have the fact that without the spacing, he's openly saying, it's also as part of this interview, he also talked about how it's been so difficult with all the double teams, even times when he's seeing a triple team, because they don't have spacing.
Right.
But today, they're playing in Boston. This is a vitally important matchup. He has got to dominate this matchup. The Celtics do not have a good answer for him. The way they play defense enables him to get in this match's all game. And Al Horford might not play tonight. He's questionable or even doubtful with a knee issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes even less spacing for him. And it'll make the Celtics a little bit more easy to key on him. So these are the types of games that he's got to deliver on. Do I expect him to be the Defensive Player of the Year and the MVP this season? No, I never thought that was going to be the case. But he can be a difference maker in situations like this. And regardless of what Shaq says or Barkley or whoever, what anybody says, he needs to show his will in a moment like this.
Scotty, the Celtics, we look from a year ago, they could throw Horford at him. They could throw Aaron Baines at him. They had some size. Now all those guys are gone. I think Daniel Tice is their biggest guy on the roster
Cantor,
right now.
Cantor.
And Cantor. Do they have enough size to contend with Joel Embiid?
No, they don't have the right size, and they don't have anyone that can match up with them, and that's why the Celtics style of play is totally different. The Celtics style of play, playing small ball, has to work to be able to take Embiid out of his game. But if Embiid is able to get in there and impose his will, there's no one in the league can stop him night in and night out. He's going to get double teams, triple teams, and he just have to be able to accept them.
Yeah, I mean, this to me, it goes beyond, you know, the matchups and all that. Sometimes you have to make a statement, right? You have to make a statement and let people know, especially a team that's had your number, the Celtics, and I know a lot of those guys aren't there anymore, But still, that feeling is still there that Boston has one up on Philly. So he's got to put it in their heads that, no, it's a new day now because the bully's on my team. All right, our league pass game of the night is Cavs at Spurs.
Cavs league pass game of the night, back-to-back days.
Oh, it's our only option available, by the way. But an interesting storyline is the question mark surrounding the futures of Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan. Brian, which of these two players is more likely to get traded this year?
I don't even know if Love's going to play tonight. It's a back-to-back. The Cavs are ready to trade Kevin Love. So you'd think it was going to be him, but he's the harder player to trade.
Right.
The Spurs, DeRozan, who can opt out of his contract, is a more easy player to move.
Right.
But the Spurs haven't shown an inclination, at least we don't know about it, that they want to move him. So it's a complex issue. I suppose I would say that DeRozan is the easier player to trade.
The funny thing, Scotty, is if you look at the Spurs record, you're like, oh, they're having a terrible season. But then you look at the standings, they're right there in the playoff hunt. So I can see why they're a little shy on pulling a trigger on trading away DeRozan. If you're the Spurs, do you think they should hold on to him and say their season's going to get turned around, or should they just try to make a change?
Well, based on the Spurs style, I like them holding on to DeRozan. I think they're a team that's still, if they get in the playoff, they're a very scary team. Popovich has always got something up his sleeve, so I like to see him. I think Kevin Love is a guy that probably can go somewhere and savage something out of this season from an individual standpoint.
If Kevin was sitting here right now, he'd vote for himself because based on the way he's playing right now, he don't want to be there.
This was awesome.
Could you even call that a closeout?
There was a play, I want to say it was last night, where he just took the 3-second violation. On purpose, because he was open. Right. I was against Philly. He's open. He's calling for the ball, and none of his guards can find him. And says, "You know what? We're just going to take this 3-second violation." Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you this funny story. Back when we were young, and this was the early Michael Jordan days, when he'd come down, he was wagging the tongue, and, and the horse would be standing in the lane, and Michael wouldn't pass in the ball. He said, "Pip, I'm gonna just get a 3 seconds."
That's awesome, man.
I get what Kevin Love is doing.
Oh, especially when playing with young guys, man. You got to give the vet the ball. Brian, what changed really quickly? We got 30 seconds and less. What changed from 2 months ago when they said, "Oh, Kevin's here forever"?
I don't think he meant that then either. I think he was willing to put on a good face. Now I don't think he's put on a good face. Although I would recommend to him, put on a good face and a better effort to make it yourself to get traded.
Well, you got
to
put on a good face when you're making that kind of money.
Or that's a good point.
Actually, you don't have to do anything when you're making that kind of money because it still clears. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to Brian and Scotty for joining me. Thank you to Nick DiPaola. The Jump is live from Miami tomorrow. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be drinking Mai Tais and all types of cocktails. Make sure you tune in.